on the Andy Griffin Show. Time to call in with your gripes, opinions, theories, and conspiracies. Here's your chance. Don't blow it. Only on News Radio 890, 92.5, KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
What does this song mean to you? The Andy Griffith Show theme. A little jazzed up. They add some drums and stuff to this one. But, yeah, it's kind of funny. As our town, well, it used to be a town, a city, and then now a kind of a metro center. St. George, hate to say it, folks, but it's not Mayberry anymore. You don't know the... Probably don't know by first name everybody in town. You don't know who's driving what car. And, you know, I know we wanted to stay Mayberry, but if you want Mayberry, probably move out to Bill Hoster's Leeds out there or something, because this isn't it anymore. However, that doesn't mean we can't have a safe haven in the world right here in Southern Utah. So welcome to the program. I'm Andy Griffin, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock on this Friday. Yeah, it feels good to say that. Friday weekend is oh so close. We've got plans today out there, and I don't know. You're going to hit the lake, maybe? My son recently moved down here. He's selling realty, but I think he spends about almost as much time on San Hollow as he does actually selling houses, because he loves that place, he and his wife. So anyway, Mello is here. I turned the wrong button up. Sorry, Mello. We'll turn your microphone on. There we go. You there?
Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning. We're going to talk a little bit about sleep today. And everybody that listens to this program knows that it seems like about maybe every 2 weeks I talk about sleep and getting enough sleep and stuff. And I wanted to get your take right off the bat on how sleep works in your household. You have a variety of children, grown-ups in your household. How do you handle sleepy time?
I like to go to bed early, and my husband stays up super late.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're in bed, what, 9 o'clock?
I try to get in my room around 9 o'clock, get ready for bed. I'm asleep by like 9:30, 9:45 most nights.
And your husband's midnight kind of guy?
Midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning kind of guy.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I let him put our son to sleep, and then the older girls... I say goodnight to them before I go to bed, but I put myself to bed first. I'm not missing my sleep.
And one of the reasons for that, you get up very early, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm up by 5 most mornings.
That's early.
Yeah, so I can work, not work out, but I walk.
Walk out. That's like my wife. She gets up when I get up. I have to get up for work. She does not have to get up as early as I do, but she gets up and she kind of sees me after work and goes walking with one of her friends every morning. Mm-hmm. It's a cool deal. She actually... one time said, I'm going to go walking. I said, you what? Because at 5 o'clock, as you know, it's still quite dark, mm-hmm. no matter what time of year it is. I said, no, I don't want you walking in the dark by yourself. She's like, oh, all the bad guys are sleeping now. And I said, well, please find a partner to walk with. And so she walks with someone every day, which is important to me.
Yeah. So. My husband finally figured out that I wasn't taking the dog every morning, and he got a little concerned.
How big's your dog? Is it big enough to protect you?
Yeah, he is. We have a Mastiff. And we have a German Shepherd Boxer mix.
Wow. Okay. Those are pretty big dogs.
Those are big boys.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to make them mad.
No.
Okay. Well, there's a recent study out again, and I know it seems like they have one every few years, but outlining how much sleep people should have. Now, you have, how old's your youngest? 5? 6?
6.
6-year-old. Mm-hmm. According to this, preschoolers or children ages 6 to 12, so right in there, should get between 9 and 13 hours of sleep.
Mm. That's not happening at our
house. It's not happening? Okay. No. I don't know that it ever happened at our house. Bedtime can be such a chaotic time when you have young people, mm-hmm. Especially really young people. My son has now 3-year-olds. He just turned 3 years old this week, twins. And the first couple of years, they, you know, once they got cognitive, you know, beyond 6, 8 months, whatever, they didn't want to go to bed, of course. And as they're, you know, 2 years old and now headed into 3 years old, they had to create I like what they did. They created a ritual, mm-hmm. Where every night they did a certain thing, they read some books, and then they had what they called yummy milk. And it wasn't really any different than any other milk, but that was a motivation for the kids to go to bed was the yummy milk was waiting for them in their little sippy cups.
Not melatonin milk?
I don't think they drugged them. Well, I mean, melatonin's not a drug, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But they had the yummy milk waiting for them, and then they, I hate to say it, but this happened. They put those things on the doorknobs so the kids can't get out. You kind of have to have that. I know it sounds like you're putting your kids in prison. No, not really. No, I mean, kind of, but not really, right?
Yeah, I'm really bad with bedtimes, and I never really got the hang of it. But really? my son and his wife, they actually have like a bedtime, and their son goes to bed at like 7 or 8 o'clock and doesn't wake up until 7 or 8 in the morning. And I've never had that kind of freedom my whole life because I've never trained my kids to sleep very well.
I think if when our kids were younger, if we put them to bed at 7, they'd be up at like 3 in the morning, you know, jumping around on you. So we couldn't do that.
No.
All right. Well, yeah. Okay. So here's the outline, Mello. How do we do? Newborns should be sleeping about 15 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Infants beyond newborns should be sleeping about 15 hours a day. Toddlers, 11 to 14. Preschoolers, 10 to 13. 6 to 12. 9 to 6. Ages 6 to 12. 9 to 12 hours of sleep. Teenagers should be sleeping 8 to 10 hours a day. And I laugh at that one because I didn't sleep that much when I was a teenager, and I don't know too many teenagers that actually do sleep 8 to 10 hours a day.
My gosh, my girls are nappers. Like, my teenage girls and older girls, they always nap. They just want to nap, and I never could do that.
And by the way, adults, 7 to 9 hours a day. Now, one of the things they don't tell you, and I don't know if you've discovered this yet, Mello, but I have, when you get older, if you've been in bed a little while, things start to hurt. If you're laying on your left shoulder, your shoulder starts to hurt. You get a sore back. You have that compelling feeling inside that you need to use the restroom. You can't stay in bed for 8 or 9 hours straight. It's just impossible.
I don't know. I got a mattress cover for my bed, and it makes all the difference. It's the MyPillow mattress topper, and it's on top of my Sleep Number bed.
MyPillow, love those guys,
and it is amazing, and I can lay in my bed for hours if I need to.
Well, we splurged a few years ago, I would say maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and bought a purple mattress, and not just the base purple. We bought the upgraded purple mattress. Supposed to be one of the best mattresses you can buy. We spent too much money on it, but we had actually been sleeping on the same mattress for 20-something years, and so we needed to do it. I mean, the one we had was a Serta. It was a really nice mattress, but I had a friend that worked at the Boulevard, and if someone buys a mattress and they don't like it and return it, they can't resell that, because once a mattress has been slept on, it's at that point I don't know who's in charge, the FCC, whoever's in charge of it says, no, you can't resell that. And so he actually brought us this Serta, but this was like in 1995 or something. And so we had slept on that mattress for more than 20 years, and it was time. But we needed to upgrade. We needed to sleep better. So I feel like we have a really good mattress.
How is that purple mattress? Isn't it like kind of plasticky? Like, how is that
no,
texture?
No, it has a pillow top. It's really good. I like it. But you know, I've had two back surgeries. I've had two surgeries on my abdomen. I've got leg problems. I've got neuropathy. To me, sleeping, you know, if I can get a good solid 6 in a row, that's pretty good, I think. And I might be in bed for 8 hours, not always, but I might be in bed for 8 hours, but only 6 of them are actually sleeping. So, but that's the way it goes. Yeah. So I have, Mello, for us some tips now on how to get better sleep. I'm going to turn your mic down because I'm going to go over this list. And if you have maybe just wave at me or something if you have a comment about them. Here are some tips. I actually did a search on Google how to get better sleep, right? And it got a lot of hits. I mean, there were literally dozens of websites on how to get better sleep. And so I kind of sorted through them and found a couple of them that I thought were really salient. They had really good points, things that that I thought were pretty important ones. So, okay, number one is a tough one. Limit screen time before bed. Now, screen time has become the catch-all, meaning phones, iPads, computers, and yes, television. How many of us like to go, you know, get in bed and watch the evening news, or get in bed and watch a movie, or our favorite series or whatever before we go to sleep. Well, experts are saying the artificial light from phones and laptops decreases melatonin production. Melatonin is that chemical that helps you sleep. Your body naturally makes more of it in the evening and less of it in the day, but using devices at night can throw off that process. Your body thinks it's daytime still, and then your body won't process the melatonin correctly, and you'll find yourself in a world of hurt. All right, that's tip number one. Tip number two, make your bedroom cool, dark, and quiet. Now, my wife doesn't like cool rooms. I'm like, honey, you'll sleep better if it's cool in there. But she wants the thermostat. She wants it warm in the bedroom. So we have a little bit of a conflict going there. And the only way I've been able to solve it is get in bed. And I don't use blankets. She does. But if you can make your bedroom cool, dark, and quiet, thus telling your body, signaling to your body, it is time to produce that melatonin. It is time to help yourself sleep. Number three, alcohol and caffeine close to bedtime. Both can disrupt your natural sleep phases. Skip big meals at night. That's number four. Number five, stick to a sleep schedule. If you have a job that where you go in at different times, that's so hard. And I talked to, so my daughter right now is working kind of an overnight. She works like 10 p.m. to 5 or 6 in the morning. And they had her sometimes starting at 10, sometimes midnight. Sometimes she would go in at 2 or 3 in the morning. And I told her, I said, look, this is none of my business. It's your life. You're an adult. But I would get with my boss and I would say, hey, boss, I need a schedule that's consistent. And she was able to actually do that. She actually went in and told her boss. And now she works exactly 10 o'clock every night. And not every night, but, you know, 4 or 5 nights a week. So that's cool. Stick to a sleep schedule. Regular activity, exercise can prep your body for a good night's sleep. Experts aren't totally sure how this works, but it may help you de-stress your mind as you wind down. Plus, exercise is just physically tiring. They do, however, recommend that you, whatever exercise you do, you wrap up at least an hour before you then try to go to sleep, because exercising and then getting right into bed is that does not help, because there's your body has so many functions working at that time. And then finally, reducing stress. This is one that is one of those you reach out and try to grasp it and you can't get a hold of it. You know, it's like trying to get an eggshell out of an egg you just cracked into a pan. You can't get that. It won't hold still and you can't pull it out of there. Reducing stress. Everyone is different. Stress is, we talked about this a little bit with Marianne earlier this week. Stress is a funny thing, because something that stresses me out may not stress you out, and vice versa. Talking on the radio doesn't stress me out, right? But you get someone who doesn't do it very often, like Marianne was earlier this week. She's stressed out. She's nervous about it. And it helps to keep her. It's a police car just zipped by. Anyway, it stresses her out. And so she can't sleep. So there's your list to help you get some better sleep. Limit screen time before bed. Make your bedroom cool, dark, and quiet. Limit alcohol and caffeine close to bedtime. Skip big meals at night. Stick to a sleep schedule. By the way, if you're going to have a big meal, better to have it like at 5 or 6 rather than, you know, if you're going to bed at, say, at 9 or 10, have your meal about 3 or 4 hours before then, so you're already, so your digestive system doesn't have to work so hard at night. Stick to a sleep schedule, exercise regularly, and reduce stress. Boy, that sounds like a list from Dr. Blodgett, doesn't he? He was on Wednesday. Basically, it is. And sleep, you don't just need rest, but your body regenerates a lot during the night. So just keep that in mind. All right, it is Open Line Friday. Let's go to the phone lines right away. Good morning. How's it going this morning?
Morning, Andy.
Hey, what's going on, Richard?
Oh, it's a good day. And I missed the late night tacos. We used to have Hart and Leno. That was a good get a laugh before you go to sleep. Can't do that anymore, obviously. Anyway, talk about, we got a new holiday. I was up this morning. I couldn't get into my dentist to get a root canal, so I had to go to the DMV. Anyway.
Ouch.
What is June 19th all about?
Oh, Juneteenth.
Juneteenth. Never heard of it.
Yeah, I think it has to do with Mello, do you know any more on that? Because I'm going to have to plead the fifth and say I don't really know a ton about that, Mello.
I have heard about it. I think it's a federal holiday commemorating the emancipation of the enslaved African Americans.
Yeah, it has to do with racism and slavery and freedom and things like that. And honestly, I cannot offer opinion on it because I don't know much about it.
I just saw it today and saw they had the day off, so it sounded like another federal holiday. Hey, have a good Friday, dude.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Let's see, what do we got here? A couple of texts came in. Okay, no name on this one, but we put our kids to bed at 8. If they weren't ready to go to sleep as they got older, they could, like, read, et cetera. Also nice that we did that because my husband and I had some time together. That actually is one of the benefits. If you can get your kids to bed, you and your spouse have some time to talk about your day, to talk about what's coming up the next day, to talk about what's stressing you out or what you're worried about, or even making plans. I got a text from someone named Melody who says she has a comment for me. Melody!
So one thing that I do is I don't keep my phone by my bed. I actually put it in the other room.
And I'll bet 90-something percent of us do because we use our phone as an alarm. And, you know, in case we get a text or all important text or whatever.
And that's what makes me get up in the morning is because my alarm is in the other room.
Wow.
So I have to get up.
So it's going off and you're like, I got to get up and get that thing.
Exactly. And then I also don't get interrupted. Like if I get a text, I don't see the light because it's in the other room. Mm. And I have it on do not disturb until I wake up in the morning.
We have found, my wife and I, that it is troubling to me how many people send texts or messages late at night. Like, they have to know we get up early because these are people we know. I got a text 2 days ago from someone that I am friends with, someone that is acquainted with what I do for a living and how early I go in, and their text was 11 o'clock at night. And my wife said, well, they probably figured you wouldn't get it and you would just see it in the morning. But the problem is, unlike you, my phone is literally 3-4 feet from my head on the nightstand next to my bed.
Right. Well, so I'm guilty of texting people early in the morning because I'm up. Hmm. So I assume, and then I text at like 5:30. I'm like, oh, snap, they're probably not up yet in my bed.
I have found myself while I'm doing my morning show, maybe confirming with a guest or whatever, I'll grab my phone and I'll compose a text. And right before I hit send, I'll look and I'm like, oh, it's only 6:14. I probably shouldn't send this yet. So I try to restrain myself. And I, if anybody should have an understanding of this, Mello, it's me. I was a sports writer for many, many, many years. And part of sports writing is you're up till 1, 2, 3 in the morning writing stories and designing pages and designing websites and things like that. And so when people would call me or text me, or well, I guess this was before texting, but people would call me at even before 9, I was... That was too early. I mean, if you go to bed at 3, 9 o'clock is early in the morning, really early.
True.
So, all right. Thank you, Mel. Appreciate that. It is 8:26 on KDX. I had another text here I want to get to, see if I can find it. How about our conservative governor declaring Pride Month? What about Faith Month or Liberty Month or Rule of Law Month? Good comment, Jan. I appreciate that. Like I said, I still have a little personal thing with Spencer Cox, besides all the political things. And I do think he is, and I actually asked him this. We had him on a town hall thing. It was a nighttime show here on KDXU, and it was broadcast to all the non-Wasatch Front radio stations. So, you know, Moab and Manti and I don't know, wherever else, Tooele, even Logan, of course, St. George and Cedar City. But basically, I asked Spencer Cox, I said, Governor Cox, and I dodged it, you know, being completely confrontational by saying, a lot of people have said that you are a Republican in name only. How do you feel about that? And I didn't say I call him that, although I have. But he said, well, you know, I don't believe in any kind of labels. He says, yes, I'm a Republican, but I don't agree with everything that Republicans say to do. And so I guess if you want to call me that, that's your prerogative. And I was like, okay, so you're not denying it is what you're saying. The personal thing I have with Governor Cox is before he was elected, he came on the show quite often. I could in a half hour notice, he'd be on the show, and I had him on probably leading up to the election, I probably had him on twice a month. And one of the times I asked him flat out right to his face, and he was sitting right here. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, he was between Mello and me. And I said, Governor, or he wasn't governor yet. I said, Mr. Cox, I love having you on the show, but I have heard that politicians are infamous for when they want to be elected, they'll do radio anytime, anywhere. And as soon as they get elected, they lose your phone number. They won't speak to you again. I said, you're not going to do that to me, are you? And he said, absolutely not. I will come on your show anytime, and I would love to be on your show. He says, I'll come on once a week if you want me to. Well, I've had Spencer Cox on exactly one time in now a year and a half or two and a half or however long it's been that he's been elected. And it's not for trying. I've called his office many, many times. I've called his PR people, and I said, hey, you know, I thought he was a friend of the show. I thought we were going to get him on a lot. And they said, well, give him your message, sir. Okay, thank you. Give him my message, sir. Appreciate that. Okay, that's my personal thing with Governor Cox. All right, gosh, already 9:30. Time flies when you're having fun. I wanted to talk about a cool TV show episode that featured St. George, sort of. And it was on the other day, and you can actually watch it today. Very, very cool deal. We'll talk about that when we come back. I also had other things I wanted to talk about, including the biggest bug in Utah. What's the biggest bug you've ever seen inside the borders of Utah? Now, I grew up in Texas. We had some roaches that were, I mean to tell you, they were as big as... almost as big as your hand. We had some roaches that were gigantic. Haven't seen roaches that big in Utah, but I can tell you there are some bugs that are pretty big in the state of Utah. We'll talk about them too when we come back. By the way, Angelica and her husband are off in Europe right now. I'm jealous. It's funny. I don't know what it is, but like if you're on my show, you have to go to Europe, apparently, at some point, because Gary Sorensen, Murdoch Morris Columbus Travel, he is in Europe. Jack and Angelica are in Europe right now. Who else? I think McRae went to Europe recently. It seemed like I know there's one more. I can't think of who it is at this moment. Oh, Marianne Hamilton and her husband are going for 11 days to Europe. So I guess you're next, Mello. Are you going to Europe?
No, but my daughter did just go last month for 3 weeks with her husband.
Three weeks?
Yeah, they graduated
that wasn't
college.
Cheap.
Nope. They went. It was fun.
Cool. Yeah. Is there somewhere in Europe that you like particularly would like to visit? No?
No, I'd rather stay stateside. I'm a little bit of a chicken.
Oh, you don't want to go at all? Mm-mm. Okay. That's understandable. My wife kind of wants to go, but she doesn't want to go sit on an airplane for hours and hours and hours. So that has limited our travel. I think for like 5 or 6 hours on an airplane is about the most my wife wants to do. But I would like to someday go see ancient Greece or go see Greece and look at some of the ancient things there. Go to old Italy as well. Those are kind of the two places I wouldn't mind seeing. All right. So I was going to talk about this police episode. This episode, okay, they're on the station Investigation Discovery. Yes, I'd never heard of it. ID, they call it, the ID network. But on Investigation Discovery, they have a program called Body Cam. Never heard of that either until, was it two nights ago? I think it was two or three nights ago. I was just flipping through Facebook. It's about maybe 7 o'clock at night, maybe somewhere in there. And I come across this post and it says, hey, St. George is on body cam on ID. And I'm like, what? And the post continues something like, remember that incident where the guy who had a kid hostage and went out into the desert? They compiled body cam footage and did some interviews, and they have a TV show about it on Investigation Discovery. I was like, well, that's pretty cool, because I remember when that happened. I remember what a big deal it was and everything. So We were able to go there, and some of the information on Facebook was not right. It wasn't it wasn't season 7, and some of the stuff wasn't correct. But it was Investigation Discovery, season 6, episode 11. If you have streaming services like I do, I have YouTube TV. Yeah, I was able to go and play that exact episode, even though it wasn't live anymore. They weren't playing it live. It was in their archives, and I was able to push a button and watch that entire episode, and it was gripping. It was tense. As this happened, I remember the afternoon it happened. I don't remember the date now, but I remember it happening and listening to the scanner and listening to this whole thing develop and listening to a scanner of it all happen is only like part of the story, right? I mean, the fact that they were able to then go in and we found out these facts later, and then they were able to fill in the blanks with this TV show was phenomenal. Really, really cool. I recommend, it's like 42 minutes long. It has like 3 commercial breaks. So I'm not much time out of your life to go and check this out. But, the show is called Body Cam. It's on Investigation Discovery. They interview, motorcycle cop. I don't know if you knew about this. So this guy, they had a warrant for this guy. His name is Oscar Alcantara or something like that. And he was in a car with, I don't know if it was his girlfriend or, but in the car in the back seat was a little kid, a little 2-year-old. And, they got pulled over by police, because they had a warrant for this guy. So she pulls over, jumps out of her car and runs toward the police car and says, "Help, help, he's crazy. He's threatening to hurt me," et cetera, et cetera. So the police, you know, grab her and like, okay, what's going on? Meanwhile, this guy, this Oscar guy, climbs into the front seat of the car, grabs the little kid out of his car seat and puts him on his lap and pulls out a gun. So at this point, the police are like, holy smokes, we have us a major incident. He gets into the driver's seat, drives off with the kid on his lap and the gun, showing the gun. He drives through. Now this is, at this point, they're in the fields. They're out there in Washington. He drives through the fields, ends up getting on the freeway, and drives from the freeway from exit 8 down to I think Dixie Drive is 5 or whatever it is, and gets off on Dixie Drive, and then he's speeding up Dixie Drive, weaving in and out of traffic, going on the wrong side of islands. Just, I mean, the dude is crazy, and they actually lose him. But it just so happens that this motorcycle policeman, Officer Trombley from St. George Police Department, was sitting and clocking, and that guy zipped by on Dixie Drive. Now think about Dixie Drive, right? It's a windy road. It's 2 lanes in a lot of the areas. He's going 80 to 100 miles an hour on Dixie Drive with a little kid on his lap holding a gun. So in the meantime, police were able to get a hold of this guy. He actually called in and said, "Tell them to stop following me or I'll kill the kid." And then as they try to negotiate with him on the phone, as he's driving crazy, he's like, "I don't want to hurt the kid. I don't want to hurt the kid, but tell him to stop following me or I will hurt the kid." And so they had lost him for a while. They picked him up. Police had decided they were not going to stop following him because he had the kid. Had he been driving erratically like that, and where they knew who he was and what car he was driving or anything, they probably would have just let him go and picked him up later. But because he was holding a kid hostage, they decided they couldn't let this thing go. So, to make a long story not quite as long, I've already talked about it for 5 minutes, but they end up talking him into stopping out across the Arizona border, headed out toward Beaver Dam on Old Highway 91, Old Dixie Highway 91. And he gets out of the car, and they feel like they're still negotiating with him and talking with him. They feel like they have talked him into letting the kid go and you know, then making an arrest. And then just as they're about, just like that key moment when it looks like he's finally going to let the kid go, from the other direction on Highway 91 comes a Mojave County sheriff. And they had set up a perimeter. They told him, "We're not going to get too close." So they were like maybe 50 yards away from him. Well, the sheriff from Mojave County, they hadn't talked to him. He comes flying in there and goes within, you know, 50 feet instead of 50 yards of the guy. And that spooks the guy. So he grabs the kid back. He'd put him on the ground. He grabs him back up with his gun and runs out into the brush, the desert. The rest of the story is they actually, a sniper takes the guy's life, misses the kid, fortunately. And it was Officer Lefevre, Seth Lefevre, from the St. George Police and the SWAT that ended up shooting the guy and saving that little kid's life. But one of the things I didn't realize, so when Officer Lefevre took the shot, and remember, this bad guy, this Oscar guy, is in amongst the brush and everything. He's hiding and moving around and stuff. Officer Lefevre said, I took the shot, and I could see in my scope him and the child kind of fall violently backward. He said, but I didn't know what had happened. He said, I didn't know for sure if I had hit the suspect, if I had hit the kid, if I had hit them both. He said, I knew I'd hit something by the way they violently fell backwards. He said, but it wasn't until, and the police were, you know, 50 feet away or whatever out in the desert there. It wasn't until they ran up on him and saw the kid moving. He said, that was finally the moment I'm listening to the radio and I hear that the kid's okay, that the weight of the world was lifted off of my shoulders. Pretty cool deal. And you can watch all of this, Investigation Discovery. The show is called Body Cam. Again, it's season 6, episode 11. I have never watched that show. I don't know anything about the show. It sounds like it could be a little bit of, although they did blur just about everything. You know, they blurred the kid. They blurred, they actually blurred the suspect most of the show too, but they did have an actual photo of him they put up, so you know what he looks like. But man, if you have a few minutes, check that episode out. It is intense. Some of the good things about it shows, number one, what great police officers we have here in southern Utah, and it shows some of the incredible, I mean, what a great place this is to live. Of course, the bad thing is we had a unfortunately a suspect who was shot to death because he was threatening a kid, so both good and bad there. But do we have someone on the phone, Milo? All right. I apologize for talking too much. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Andy.
Morning.
Kind of hard to follow that with rather intense, dramatic issue that happened here. But I wanted to talk about something else, but I just, you said something that just really, I don't know, kind of surprised me a little bit, that the officer took the shot, mm-hmm. not knowing whether or not he was going to hit the baby or not.
Well, no, I maybe I worded it wrong. He said he took the shot. He felt confident that his shot was, I mean, he aimed at the suspect. He felt confident he hit the shot. But in the scope, he couldn't see for sure if that's actually what happened. So he felt good about the shot, but he didn't know for sure.
Okay, well, we'll just have to leave that where it's at because it just sounded, you know, anyway, we'll just leave that where it is. So earlier in the show, you'd mentioned about we're not Mayberry anymore and that, you know, growth is inevitable here. And you suggested that maybe a move out to Leeds would be a good move.
Perhaps, yeah, if you want Mayberry, yep.
Well, I moved to St. George because it was Mayberry. Why do I have to move now? Maybe I move out to Leeds in 10 years, 15 years from now. Now I got to move again. Why don't we just try to keep Mayberry as much as we can of what we still have right here in St. George?
I think you hit the nail on the head on the issues that we're grappling with right now in southern Utah. Is unfortunately, with growth comes some of the problems of being a large place, and we don't want them, and we're trying hard not to. It's funny, I had a conversation with someone who let's call him liberal for lack of a better word, who thinks drag shows are fine, who thinks that it's okay if we have a shop that sells pornographic materials in St. George, who thinks that we should be kinder and more accepting of alternative lifestyles. And they were criticizing me because I said, well, I don't want that here in St. George. And they're like, well, that you're being unreasonable. You're being, you know, you're not being accepting and kind to others. And I'm like, well, I live here. I moved here like you, Steve, because of what this place was and the values and the things it represented. And now, unfortunately, we're losing that.
Well, so, you know, that really begs the question. So all these people that want to have drag shows and all these various other things, there's lots of cities that already exist. Why don't they move to Vegas or San Francisco? Why do they have to come here and turn us into something that we simply do not want? And so I think this is not that difficult. You know, the thing about growth, Andy, is it seems we have a wide open throttle policy. that we're going to grow as fast as we can, wherever we can. And the fact is that we should have moderate growth. We should control that. And it seems that the people who are in charge don't understand that you don't have to, it's not either off or on. It can be somewhere in the middle. It's like your throttle on the car. We don't drive around at 100 miles an hour everywhere we go.
Right.
And so I think the growth could be the same thing. I know you're up against a break. I'd like on the other side of that, Andy, what do you think about Davis County removing the Bible from libraries? And what are we going to do if that comes here?
All right. Now, I'll address that when we come back. You're right. Got to get this break
Thanks.
In. Thanks, Steve. We'll be right back. 9:51 on KDX. You're running short on time. A couple of things I wanted to mention before we go back to the phone lines. Mike Lee made a statement. Basically was a statement to the folks on the East Coast who are experiencing poor air quality because of wildfires in Canada. It's such a big deal when it happens on the East Coast in New York and Boston and Philadelphia. Well, it happens here every year. Mike Lee was kind of like, now you know how we feel, guys, for crying out loud. Other news item, Biden's approval rating. This is interesting. Of course, Republicans don't approve of his job. Democrats are below 50% on approval rating. And now they put a poll out on independents. And about 91%, that's a big number, think that Joe Biden is at least somewhat unfit for office. 50% say he is completely unfit for office. His approval rating is at an all-time low. I talked with a young person earlier today, and they were like, I'd like a whole new set of choices for the presidency this year, not Biden and Trump. And I was kind of, I could see that. I could see where young people would go, let's clean the slate. But unfortunately, what it looks like to me, it's going to be Biden-Trump 2.0 in 2024. All right, let's get to that phone line. Hey, thanks for hanging on, Doug. What's up?
Good morning, Andy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling in, man.
Yes, you bet. Yeah, just a little bit on what you're talking about the next presidential race coming up. I'm a theory, Andy. It concerns me a lot, but with the coronavirus, we ushered in mail-in voting, where in the old days before that, you had to get on your own 2 feet and go to a place and maybe stand in line to cast a vote. What concerns me is we know it comes down to about 3 or 4 called swing states that determines the presidential election. And now with the mail-in voting, I'm concerned that within those states, the great big cities usually pull the state one way, blue or red.
Yeah.
And with now being able to mail-in vote, those people that maybe, you know, the not to criticize or demean them, but the people on welfare, etc., on government assistance in the past, I really think a majority of them maybe didn't vote, Andy, because they had to walk to a polling place. Now all they have to do is put the envelope in the mail, and I feel even without any cheating or anything, personally I feel if it was close, the Democrats would go in and start their operation to make sure they leveraged it their way. But I'm afraid that without even any cheating, which is the mail-in voting period, that more influx of votes in those big inner cities and those swing states now that's so easy, and a politician locally, all they'd have to say, vote for me and it's free. Or if you want free, vote for me, you know, to get those guys to put their envelope, just to put the envelope in the mailbox now. It's like, uh-oh. But anyway, I haven't heard anything about that. Why do we have to do mail-in voting? Coronavirus isn't here anymore. So.
Yeah.
That's the question.
Good point. Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate that. You know, it is fascinating to me because mail-in voting is more conducive to fraudulent activity, and he wasn't addressing that. He was talking about just, you know, people voting who maybe wouldn't have voted before. I don't know that that's a bad thing necessarily. It may swing some things. He's right. But, getting actual humans to actually vote, I mean, that's what we're built upon, right? Getting the vote, getting the electorates, and so I'm not actually completely against mail-in voting. I know on a local basis. Now, I can't speak for Atlanta or New York City or Philadelphia or Minneapolis, but I know on a local basis that they're very careful about making sure that every one of the mail-in ballots is a legitimate ballot, to the point where if there's any kind of anomaly, they'll pick up the phone and they'll actually make a phone call and call the person. I know this because it happened to me once. This was maybe 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. I voted and I didn't take much care with my signature. I just scribbled something down and the computer kicked my ballot out of its little study and said and told the clerk auditor, you need to call this person and verify that that's who they really voted for. And so I got a phone call. It was, to me, I was like, wow, okay, it works. I got a phone call and they said, hey, we got a ballot. It says it's for you, but the signature doesn't match. Can you verify who you voted for on your ballot? And I was able to, right there over the phone, say, yeah, that is exactly who I voted for. And to me, it actually helped to validate the whole thing a little bit. So, as Steve mentioned earlier this week, Davis County School District came under fire when it banned Bibles from middle school and elementary school libraries, saying Bibles can be vulgar and contain some sexual content. They did not, however, ban the Bibles from the high school. And so maybe banning is not the right word. They didn't feel it was age appropriate for little kids. Interesting to me that they would do that, considering some of the other stuff they feel is age appropriate. They are also talking about banning the Book of Mormon, which a lot of people of the LDS faith would put up there close to the Bible as being a testament of Jesus Christ. And I think, honestly, a caller mentioned this, and I think it's partially, at least partially true. They're doing things like that because they say, hey, look, we're going to ban your book. And when we protest and say, no, you can't ban that book, they say, okay, well, then let's not ban this book and this book and this book. It's kind of like, you know, it's like a smokescreen. Like they're saying, well, we're going to do this. And, oh, you guys don't want any banning? Okay, well, then how about if we don't ban this book and this other book and this other book? So, I think it's a ruse. I think it's one of those... draw a whole lot of attention in one hand while you're doing something else with the other hand, the famous magician's trick. So, let's, by the way, let me grab a couple of texts here. Okay. It's been a fun show today. I didn't want to end up by mentioning, you know, we're worried about growth. We're talking about growth. And I happen to be, my son's a realtor. I happen to be a fan of realty. And Mello is a realtor in this town. And so I keep a close eye on things. The fact of the matter is, whether we're growing or not, people move. People sell their homes and people buy new homes and move. I've lived in four or five homes in Washington County. Actually, I've lived in, I think, six, but I've owned like five of those. So people move. You know, circumstances change. For me, it was, the starter home and then move up to a little bit bigger home with a good yard because I had young boys, then move up to a bigger home because we had a total of five children and had to have room for all of them with maybe not as great as a yard, but a much bigger home. And then when the kids all move out, then you just start downsizing and wanting to do things like maybe have a pool or a game room or a movie room or something like that. So people move. On the Southern Utah housing market in the month of May, 391 houses sold. Did you know that? Yeah, the real estate market is still doing its thing. The median price, that's the one that's troubling. With the interest rates at 6.5 or whatever they are, and the median house price at $517,000, I don't know how in the world anyone can afford a home if you didn't already have one. That's the troubling thing. Well, one of the many troubling things. Thanks for listening today. It's been a lot of fun. We'll talk to you on Monday.